kitchen all the time. In case caffeine's not working. Hello, everybody.
Caffeine
welcome
not
to
working.
The Outlaw
you.
Picks pack. Well, you know, sometimes if you
saturated.
Drink, if you don't,
you're drinking the wrong caffeine. You've just led me into the C4 read really nicely.
I did, didn't I? Look at that. I didn't even intend to. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Outlaw Picks podcast.
Yeah, right.
Caffeine.
C4. Need it.
I have actually got a decaf tea right now, so
you
I'm
haven't.
Not. Oh, have I not? Is it fully caffeinated?
Well, I made
God,
it.
God, I've already had two cups of coffee.
Have you?
I'm going to be fucking
shaking. Three-hour podcast. I like it. What is it? It's a fight night, isn't it?
It is a fight night. It's a good card. There's some interesting matchups on it. Yeah. And we have no review to do because we've done the review of 265.
Yeah, we did.
Right?
Which was good. Got some good numbers, actually, the review.
Yeah.
People like it. The people like it, especially Jimmy Waller and
they love
Josh
giving
Hamilton
you shit
just,
about
just
it.
Just love the podcast.
Love giving you shit about your notes.
Yeah, but, you know, like I say many times, that's great, but you haven't done it.
They're more wrong than not, though, the notes.
Yeah, but...
At least
I'm not sitting there going, well, I didn't watch that one. What do you think?
That's true. I mean, if like those boys don't really watch fights generally.
No.
Because they're generally
too busy
just fighting.
Too busy having fights.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't complain on that. Right, so today we are sponsored by C4. It's coursing through my veins as we speak.
Of course it is.
I think it's basically just keeping me alive after yesterday, but they're all good. Well, it'll be the day before. No, there we go. By the time this comes out. They have a whole range of awesome caffeine-based beverages. One thing I'm going to have to say that I didn't realise is this offer is only for our US viewership.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. A couple of people have messaged in saying they've been trying to get C4 sent over, they're not sending it over to the UK.
Is that
unfortunately, yeah. Are you telling me to pull this closer without telling me to pull this closer?
I'm just checking my distance with the mic.
Side
about
eye.
About a fist, right? That's what people always say in the comments.
Yeah, we're good.
The Joe Rogan fans out there.
We're all good.
This is the Ollie Richardson experience. Sorry, carry on. C4.
So
it's only available to the US.
So it's only available to our US viewers. However, it is a very good deal. You'll get 30% off if you use the code FULLREPTILE at the checkout. If anything changes and they do end up sending it over to the UK, we'll let you know, obviously, as soon as possible. But apologies to those guys who were smashing the keyboard. I don't live there,
mate. We'll get a
fridge. I want my C4.
We'll get a fridge full of these at the new gym.
Yeah, 100%.
Jimmy Waller bathed in this stuff if we had enough of it.
Loves it. He's only on 3 or 4 a day. That's completely normal. We're also brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped have launched their Performance Package 4.0. It, of course, comes with its ceramic blade razor for all of your intricate trimming and grooming needs. But it also comes with a weed whacker for your nose and your ears, which is great. It uses their proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps stop any nicks, snags, or tugs in your delicate areas.
Tug is not a nice word for a delicate area.
No. That's
I've not
they're
tried
good.
This one yet. It's for whacking weeds, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
The garden is always weeds.
Yeah, personal weeds.
Personal.
Yeah.
Human weeds.
If that wasn't enough, Manscaped have also thrown into their performance package their crop preserver.
Yeah.
If you ever didn't deodorize your balls, you can now deodorize your balls and tone them with a crop reviver at the same time.
So you can whack the weeds or you can preserve your crop.
There you go.
Mm. Starting to sound a bit like a Cypress Hill song, this isn't.
They also throw in two free gifts.
Yeah.
Boxer shorts and a nice travel bag, actually, which I use quite a lot.
A nice travel bag. Mine had a cape in it.
Oh, what?
A cape.
What, like a barber's cape?
Well, I mean, technically a barber's cape, but it's more of a Batman cape if you wear it the correct way. Like Darth Vader.
I feel like I've just left that in the box.
You noticed I've switched this around? You didn't notice?
No.
I stole the Space Ranger off your side because you can't even remember what it is.
It.
You remember, you know what?
What did you call it then?
I called it a Space Ranger because that's what you called
it. No wonder.
It's
that's
a Space
call
Marine.
It. I keep calling it
I'm
that.
Copying what you said. I put Darth Vader over there on your side because you know who he is, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I don't really watch it, but yeah.
Of course you don't.
I don't watch it. I tried. I didn't really like it. You're coming back to sparring soon as well, aren't you?
I find it odd that you don't remember anything
I think there's something really traumatic happened and
you
I've
reckon?
Just blanked you know, 5 to 15, I've just blanked out, just so I don't have to think about it anymore. Yeah,
maybe you're a massive Star Wars fan and, like, you went to...
Nah,
like,
I mean,
you,
I did. Maybe you, like, so you got me on The Mandalorian, but I...
You're not into it?
Nah, I was just like, man, I don't get it. I'm going to watch Gogglebox
instead.
Well,
I'll read this textbook instead. maybe it just needs to be factual for you.
No.
I put some other things up as well. Are these probably going to be blocked by the, no, hold by on, the sponsor,
hold on a
by
minute.
The way?
Hold what? On Hang a minute. On. What? Hold on a minute. If you would like 20% off and free shipping worldwide, do not use the UFC code.
Yeah.
Which I think is Darth Vader.
Is
or yeah. Death Star, as you mentioned before. Use Full Reptile at the checkout, well, and you will get that discount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It occurred to us that obviously we're talking about Manscaped, and if you're a UFC fan, then you've already heard Manscaped and you've probably already used code UFC.
Yeah, I don't know what the code is, but
don't use it. The F actually is for fuckery. People think it's fighting, but it's not.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right?
It does make a lot of sense.
Here we go.
Yeah. Go on, carry on about your toys now we've done the bit that pays the bills.
It's the wrong podcast. You don't
care.
Yeah,
no, it is the wrong
you
podcast.
You just don't care.
No.
Do you recognise anything in that selection?
The turtles.
Okay.
I would have walked past everything else.
You would, wouldn't you?
Well, I did
nothing,
like the turtles.
No,
Hot Wheels maybe a little bit. Oh, yeah? No, I did like a bit of Thunder. Where's the Thundercats? Oh, yeah.
There's
Mumra. Yeah.
I got Wolverine up here.
Yeah.
I got that custom Hunter S. Thompson Lego.
I didn't get into X-Men until it was like movies.
Until they cast you for Beast.
Yeah. Yeah, you cast
did.
Me as Beast.
We were talking about this before the podcast.
It was 9 kilos ago. 9, 10 kilos ago. And a lot of time.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat. I put them over on your side as well. I added these figures in as well. I'm not sure whether you've noticed. Oh. So I've got Jens Pulver on my side.
That's kind of cool.
WEC Jens Pulver. I've got Andrei Arlovsky. UFC 47 version. They should have matched up the photo though. In this one, he's clean shaven with a George Michael haircut, and in this one, he's got beard and a short. Anyway, and then you've got Nagir and Frank Mir on your side.
Hold on a minute. Have you watched the new Mortal Kombat movie?
No, not yet.
I half watched it and fell to sleep. Not that it was not a good movie, but I just fell to sleep. It was 1 in the morning or something ridiculous.
It's
I think
though,
it looks it's got a bit of a Japanese vibe to it. It looks quite good.
Nice.
Don't forget to check out fullreptile.co.uk. We have a whole load.
Is this one on the site? Are we
did
both?
We do chocolate brown? I knew this one wasn't and I thought I'd take it off, but it's
so we're
cold.
Both wearing items that you can't
no
purchase.
I think chocolate brown's
is
on
it?
The site
it
yeah.
should be
in the lifestyle yeah the lifestyle hoodies the chocolate brown ones on there we've sold quite a few of them. Anyway, we've got a whole load of lifestyle and training t-shirts. I think you would have probably seen you in the Full Reptile boxing, the Full Reptile martial arts t-shirts.
Yeah.
Very cool. Check them out. And also, last but not least, Roughhouse Uncensored is hilarious, mainly at a couple of people's expense, including myself. But on the Patreon, there's a deep dive into the coaching content behind what's going on at the Pro Squad. And I think I've vastly undervalued it, putting it on at £3 for the subscription at Patreon. But the more sort of comfortable Jimmy and the guys and yourself get with the cameras being there, we're just getting gold out in terms of coaching content. It's unbelievable. We're very privileged as a squad having you guys up there, but getting an insight into seeing what's going on, it's very, very cool. Not the last one, the one before, Jimmy's work on the single leg defense and that whole system he's got in place there was impressive, wasn't it?
Mate,
it was very good.
If I was a young fighter or a fan of MMA and I wanted to understand it better, I would wish for a series like this. I mean, like, how many other gyms, and I know I'm kind of hamming it up because it's our gym, but at the same time, like, you can't go into any other gym on the planet really 3 days a week and see what they're doing in the sessions.
No.
And so the way that it's structured, the way we're doing it, obviously, is that we've got 10-minute episodes on YouTube, like 8 to 10-minute episodes on YouTube. They're going up 2 or 3 times a week.
And there's a little bit on there. There's a bit. There's a bit of coaching content. There's a lot of joking around.
A lot of banter.
The sort of funny bits out of the sessions.
Yeah. A lot of shit talking and, you know, like this, like they're good episodes. But then if you want more information about the coaching and more insight into how the sessions go, I mean, I think the one that went, did it go up last night? I think it's about 40 minutes long. And it's got the full session. You know, you see parts of the warm-up and then you're filming the warm-up.
Yeah, so we're going to do, a couple of people have asked, we'd have this stick routine that I stole off someone years ago and we'd do it to mobilise lower backs and spines and what have you. And there's no new information in this world. It's all recycled.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're going to film that sequence so you guys can steal it off me.
There we go.
And resell it on, probably. No, it's great. You should just generally check it out. It's funny. It's funny, but it's also, there's some very, very good coaching content on there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Anyway. Yeah.
Patreon.com/FullReptile. Full Reptile, yeah.
Wicked.
Nice.
No review this week, anyway.
No review.
So we're straight
I think
in.
There's been a couple of changes to this.
Oh, late, you're joking.
Late, because I was all into
Braga.
Alhazen and yep. Braganetto, and then yep. I looked this morning and it's changed. It must
I
have
did
been
the
overnight.
Same fucking
did you?
Thing. Yes, I did.
Annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, I did.
It's annoying.
Yeah, mate.
Hold on, where
if,
is...
If I could get a refund on all the time I've spent researching... Oh. You know when I got off the boat race, right?
Yeah.
So, the first time I've been to Brazil, I'd landed in Rio after being at sea for, what, 28 days, I think it was? Yeah. And immediately when I landed, I turned my phone on, opened my emails, and it's like, we're expecting you in London at the weekend to film, and I think it was Joe Duffy, Dustin Poirier, which is a fight that never happened.
Yeah.
But it's like we're doing a full breakdown show on it, which is a massive production, and you know we're demoing this, and we're doing this, and blah, 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 so you need all your clips like you would on Inside the Octagon. So I spent like 3-4 days in my room in Rio working off my phone, getting all these clips and all the times written out and stuff.
See ya.
Flew back, filmed it. The next day it was cancelled.
Oh, no.
I'd spent a week preparing.
Yeah, there's a lot of people I'm not sure people necessarily get the amount that goes in behind those shows, the war rooms and the breakdown shows and stuff. There's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot goes in, isn't there? And we lost Marna Martinez and Trevin Jones as well. Did you know that?
I didn't know that either.
Which I was looking forward to because I like Trevin Jones.
Yeah.
I liked him ever since...
Ever since he fought James Krause?
No.
Did he fight James? He did fight James.
Ever since he came back from...
He's got good hands.
And he was just getting beaten,
yeah,
wasn't
it? Was, what's his name, in his debut. He took that short notice debut against Valiev.
Valiev, there we go.
And then failed his drug test, didn't he?
Yeah, that doesn't
for
count.
For Mary Jane.
That doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
No,
you should get extra
really
points for
count,
that. There should be a stoner of the night bonus. If you can step into the octagon high and win fights, like that's why people completely discredit Nick Diaz's win over Gomu, because he won by Gogo Plata and then tested positive. I think it's even more impressive.
It is. The sort of shit you'd go for.
But we're not
stone
making
as well.
Rules, are we? Clearly.
So
okay, so we're down a couple of fights then.
So what's the first one that kicks off is Sasha Polatnikov
and, against...
Right, say his name.
No, you say it.
No, you say it, because I'll tell you what my notes auto-corrected it to.
What did they auto-correct it to?
Brahminj. It's definitely not Brahminj.
It's definitely not Brahminj.
No.
I don't know what the fuck happens with auto-correct. My favourite, I was texting someone, one of my family. I was flying back to the UK a few years ago, and I was sending them a message to tell them I was flying into Gatwick, and it auto-corrected Gatwick to Goat Sucker. Honestly, I've got a screenshot of it.
It does normally put your like favourite words in there, though, doesn't it? So I don't know what you've been saying.
Well, you know,
I don't know what forums you've been on and platforms you've been on.
Well, people do like the greatest of all time.
They do. They do.
Okay.
It gets thrown around very easily.
Way too
nowadays.
Much. And the fucking goat emoji. The fucking goat emoji. Imagine when they were going through the emojis for animals and they were like crossing out the ones. We don't need a lemur. People don't talk about lemurs.
No.
We don't need it. Like, no one's going to talk about a parakeet. We can take that off the list. Goat. Is anyone going to talk about it? Well, let's leave it in for the time being, because we'll put the sheep in. That's the female version. And then all of a sudden, it's one of the most popular.
Everyone's the goat. Everyone's the goat nowadays. So, how are we saying Brahminj?
Brahmima. I actually listened to his fight on mute.
I listened.
So,
Brahminj.
Anyway.
Brahminj.
I just, it was
Ramiz.
That. Yeah, we'll call it. There we go.
Mate.
There we go. That ear was.
Oh, my God. And the minute he realised, it sort of flapped, didn't it? And he was like,
well, that.
What's that?
That was the grossest part about it, is that he got hit with a shot, and because the shot moved his head, it made his ear flap, and he was like,
"Ooh,
is that attached to me?
Is that my ear?" Yeah, it wasn't.
It's happened
great,
a few
it?
Times though, hasn't it? Do you remember when it happened to Josh James Thompson?
Yeah, the Colossus.
Yeah,
by name and nature,
Megapunk, as they called him in Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they changed his nickname. I think they struggled with Colossus.
Colossus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if those are the right Megapunk. Syllables. Megapunk.
Megapunk, yeah.
That's cool.
It's not bad, is it? He was massive, though, wasn't he?
He was massive. Similarly, he's not passing any drug tests
anytime soon. No, that's very true. I think they also called him Gong and Dash. It was like the round starts and he just runs, because he did, didn't he? Just ran, punching. Remember when he fought, was it Alex Emelianenko?
Like a Fedor's barbarian brother. With an axe.
Yeah, just a berserker.
Yeah.
Anyway, his ear was gross.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
That must have taken some serious surgery to get it back together.
You would think so.
Especially, I wonder if they took the collie out. Do you reckon?
They must have been like, oh, seen his ear, we'll take that out.
Did you see that photo of the piece of Felder's lung that was going around the internet yesterday?
No.
Like, yeah, when he got his lung punctured in one of his fights.
They just kept it in a vase.
They just took
a
piece out, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
It looked a little bit like his ear, is what I'm remembering. Right. It's like flapping around. Yeah. Palatnikov.
He's tough as old boots, isn't he?
That fight against Kosei, if he wasn't tough and durable and well-conditioned, he just wouldn't have gotten through it.
No.
Like, that first round was horrendous. He was beaten up, he was bloodied. And
he rolled out of a single leg, didn't he, to try and get away. And as he turned back in, just got battered. I still don't really know how he's turned that around, other than Kosei maybe just going all in to try and finish it and going, edge of the cliff. Can't get back now.
For sure. It was that adrenaline dump because he's like, oh, he's done.
Yeah.
He's finished. I'm going to knock him out here. And then he just hangs on. And he's awkward as well. He's got like an awkward rhythm to him. And he makes odd decisions when he's level changing. It's just difficult to predict. It makes sense to put this first fight of the night. It's just going to be a scrap. And it really doesn't matter who wins because it's such a deep division. They're like, I mean, you know.
Like Ramiz. In that, Max Griffin was really good that night, wasn't he?
He was
really, really good. And to a degree, I thought Ramiz was sort of doing all right with him. Do you know what I mean? It was just the fact that Max completely dominated the space that night, and he was just on form, wasn't he? It was one of the best we've sort of seen out of
That's
him.
That's it.
You just couldn't pin him down and get any shots off, could he? Every time he sort of tried to cajole him into an area, Max was gone and out of there. Yeah, I think it's going to be close. I think it'd be a great first fight, won't it?
Yeah.
I think maybe Sasha probably has the edge.
But I mean potentially. It depends. I mean, what's Ramiz saying on the floor? We don't know much about his ground game, do we?
I think he might have a few subs on his record, you know.
And see, this is the thing. Because, I mean, Palatnikov was taken down and subbed by Impa Kasanganai.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying it wasn't a tight choke, but he had no control of his body. You know what I mean? It was just, he literally was just clamped onto his neck.
It must have been such a strong, fast squeeze that he didn't even sort of try to move, did he?
Didn't try and throw him off. It almost looked like he didn't really exactly know what he should do to defend it. And I know, but it happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose.
And then, you know, Ramiz. So he's got arm triangle, he's got guillotine, he's got rear naked chokes. I mean, he's a neck attacker. He's got a kimura there. He has a lot of submission finishes.
Yeah, that could level things out a little bit.
I feel like that because might be the deciding factor.
In that Max Griffin fight, he looked like he wanted to stand up for a bit, didn't he? Like he was actively happy in that range.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I think it's the easiest path to victory for Ramiz. You know, get the fight to the floor. I mean, you know, we know how tough Palatnikov is, so he might waste a lot of energy trying to sub him. But he might be able to hold him on the floor and beat him up and, you know, bloody him and, you know, wear him out a bit before he attacks a submission.
Yeah, true.
I think that's the way that's the way I would pick it.
Remember Universal Soldier film with the ear necklace?
Ears.
Max Griffin's got an ear necklace. That was a great film.
It was a great film, yeah. And then they made 14 and 15 and 16 and...
Yeah, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Innit? Leave that shit alone.
Which way are you going?
I thought Palatnikov just...
Okay. We'll go the opposite way then, because I think Ramiz is going to choke him.
Double stamps for the Raptors.
Roosevelt Roberts against Ignacio Bahamondes.
Yeah, man. This is a great fight.
Mate, these two are so fucking tall.
Yeah.
Like, they're so tall. Like, Bahamondes came in, made his debut at welterweight, and his opponent was overweight as well. He fought, Gomez on the Contender Series, and Gomez came in at, like, 175 pounds or something. And I thought, as soon as he stepped in there, I thought, holy shit, he's a big welterweight.
Big dude.
And then I find out actually he's a lightweight. And I think he looked better. I mean, I know obviously he goes from fighting Edson Gomez to fighting John McDessie, and there is a jump.
Yeah.
But
we were all about, we've chatted about him before, haven't we?
Yeah.
I mean, going into the McDessie fight, yeah. We thought we were going to wreck it.
We thought he was going to have a good night in that fight.
But McDessie, he was exceptional.
He did a Max Griffin, didn't he?
Yeah, he was better than, he was better that night than in five previous fights.
For sure. Yeah. And Bahamondes, I remember as he was walking out, like they were talking about how, you know, his whole family are watching. There was a lot of pressure. And because they considered that to be his first fight in the UFC because it was Contender Series before. It's the first time he's put the UFC gloves on, you know.
Yeah.
And I think he came out in that first round expecting to be able to get McDessie out of there quick. And he got caught with a big hook.
Right to
the side of his nose. And it hurt him. It opened him up. And it was just kind of it was downward hill. I mean, it was a good fight.
But good, right?
Yeah,
good,
he's good fight.
Technically, he's good, right?
Yeah.
Really good.
He just got into it a bit too early with McDessie.
Yeah.
And I think him and Roosevelt Roberts, they, you know, their reach kind of cancels each other out. Let me just get stats up so I can see if there's a reach difference. But I think it's a banger. I think it's a really fun fight between two guys that are most likely going to want to stand and trade with one another.
And Roosevelt's got some good hands, right? He's got his right hand as an overhand and as a right-hand uppercut.
Yeah.
He's deadly. He dealt with Brock Weaver. Like, Brock Weaver's not an easy guy to deal with.
Not.
And he pretty much dealt with him.
It was a rear naked choke finish, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, but he dismantled him into it, like really put it on him.
For sure. There was a lot of venom in that fight as well,
because
he wasn't a fan of Roosevelt Roberts. Oh, is this one not on the... Oh, there it is.
I don't know if he dropped him, but he got him down, went for a dart, forced him to roll, took the mount, beat him up, forced him again, and took his back. It was like a sequence that you would talk about up at squad. It was very nice.
Yeah. Clear path.
But remember, it's a hit. One of his things is standing guillotine, isn't it?
Mm.
One of Roosevelt's things. And he got done by Crew.
That's a no contest on his record.
I always just assume no contest is smoky weed. Now.
Me too. But there's no details on...
No, on Tapology, they don't give a reason, do they?
Which is annoying, because I just like
assume
why.
It was for weed.
Yeah.
And Kevin Croom, it looks like he likes a blaze.
Oh, of course he does. You've seen some of the clothes he wears. He's like, he's like Ric Flair, like Second Coming. But I watched it last night because I couldn't remember what had happened. I'd wondered if it was like controversial or if the referee had stopped it because...
Didn't look it right.
No. Because he got hurt... And then guillotined.
Yeah.
And it was like, after the fight, as soon as it was over, he was just like hands on hips and shaking his head. So it must have been something. And Kevin
was on debut.
Yeah, he's short notice.
Out. Yeah, yeah.
He's one of, is he not one of Krause's guys?
Mm, could well be, yeah.
Guillotine, of course he is.
This is good. That might be one of the best fights on the card. I reckon.
I've just pulled up the stats. So is it 6-2 and 6-3, both lightweights, crazy. Bahamondes has a 2-inch reach advantage, 73 to 75. He has a massive advantage in strikes landed per minute, 3.03 to 7.91. Massive for Bahamondes.
Yeah, right.
Slightly lower striking accuracy, pretty much the same striking defense, more takedowns for Roberts, you know, 100% takedown defense for Bahamondes. I think it's a good fight.
I think it's a great fight.
I think it's a good fight. I think it's a look into what potential of the future lightweight division is going to look like. Because I think both of these guys. Yeah. Big, long, rangy.
What do you reckon Josh is? Josh taller than you?
He's 6'2", I reckon.
6'2", you reckon? Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. I still reckon he's going to be a welterweight in a few years. I think he's, you know, he's got that kind of frame where soon he's going to just.
Boop.
Yeah. We're talking about Josh Hamilton.
Well, a couple of people have asked what weight he's at, haven't they, on Patreon and stuff.
Yeah.
He's a lightweight at the minute, but he's 21, isn't he? So he's got some space to grow.
For sure.
Might end up a welterweight.
Okay. So which way are you picking that one, Bahamondes or
Roberts?
I'm
a bit, I like Bahamondes.
Yeah, I do as
well.
I
like him. I think he's great.
Mm. He just looks like he's got a more filler... But more fuller physique as well, and he's got the reach advantage.
Mm.
Like I said, when I saw him at welterweight making his debut, I thought he was a big welterweight.
Yeah,
and I think he's going to make Roberts look quite small.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think he's going to be able to be able to have the advantage. And plus, you know, that McDessie fight was a lesson for him. You know, he ran onto that punch that he got caught with, and that was the start of the end.
He was having his way to some degree, wasn't he? And then maybe he got a bit overconfident and that shot.
Exactly. He had all the attributes and all the techniques that should have been enough to beat McDessie.
Yeah.
But like you said, McDessie had a really good night.
Yeah,
I think he was, I think there was pressure on him, and I think he was a bit overzealous in his attack.
Mm.
And I don't think he'll do that this time around. Okay.
Yeah, right. You're going Mahamondes as well, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, nice.
Okay. William Knight against Fabio Charrant.
Mm.
The Water Buffalo.
Yeah. He fought Smolensberg. William Knight fought Smolensberg and Jorgen De Castro as an amateur before they even got to...
Is that right?
Yeah, before he even turned pro. The second time with De Castro is under tie rules.
Mm.
Yeah. He's a big old unit, isn't he?
He is a big
reminds
old
me of
unit.
A running back.
Yeah.
I know we reference the NFL quite a bit, but that shape is like a running back shape.
Yeah.
Like a block of granite.
It's a better fight, I would say, for Fabio than Menafield was. I mean, that was a horrible debut.
Mm.
Like, you know, just over a minute in, he didn't really get a chance to show anything. Von Flew choke.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I mean, you picture Menafield, you know, his upper body is deltoid.
Did you act?
That must have been a horrible compressive position to be stuck in. But William Knight's much more of a kickboxer, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if they were going to be worried about each other's power or get like a Tyron Woodley double standoff that they don't want to quite engage, or they do engage and someone's getting banged.
I think Charrant's going to try and put this fight on the floor.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think he's going to try and nullify William Knight's Thai boxing skills.
Yeah.
And he's got subs on his records. He's got a couple of the three rear naked chokes, guillotines. He's got an anaconda, first round anaconda in LFA as well.
Knight was good up against the fence against Kimura, wasn't he? Like he smothered him and controlled him, and you could see him sort of out-muscle him a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be easy to take Knight down and hold him down, but I think once he's on the floor, I think he'd be able to.
Yeah.
I think he'd be able to control him and move around him. I mean, that loss to Menafield, you know, when they're so heavily muscled and they land in awkward positions, he probably knew he needed to get his arm out of there and release the guillotine, but he just probably couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's like sometimes the glove gets stuck under the far armpit and then you're kind of locked in.
Yeah, right.
So that's going to be frustrating for him. I think he's going to see William Knight's strengths as being far more Muay Thai than anything else.
Mm.
What's Will Knight got in his record as far as subs? Anything?
I don't think so. He's out of Connecticut, isn't he? The Parker Porter further up the card, same gym.
Same gym.
Yeah.
Whereas
Thornton Martial
Fabio's
Arts.
Out of Joe Lozon's gym.
Good gym.
Mm. Straight in for a takedown.
Yeah, that could be the way.
I reckon so. I reckon that's what I'm expecting.
What have we got for subs for...
There's nothing. No subs.
No.
Yeah.
Thai
He's
boxing
got
or nothing.
A couple of ground and pound finishes, but everything else is a knockout or a technical knockout. That one decision against Alexa Kaymor.
Mm.
What were we saying about stats? What do you reckon? Which way are you leaning? They're both quite short, aren't they? Oh, Schoener's 6'1". 5'11", William Knight.
Yeah.
5'11", with a 73-inch reach. That means that Roosevelt Roberts, at a lightweight, has the same reach and is 3 inches taller.
Yeah.
But
Knight is
clearly
three times as thick.
Yeah, three times as wide.
Yeah. I don't know, man. With Knight's kickboxing and sort of physicality, he might cause Fabio a few problems in.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it might be one of those. Either, you know, Knight knocks him out, or Schramm puts him on his back and controls him.
One thing I will say: southpaw the orthodox, perfect for a Thai boxer.
Mm.
He's going to be hammering that rear body kick in over and over again, as long as he's not afraid of it getting it caught. But you know, he's actually got more experience in the UFC as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm going Knight. I'm going to go William Knight.
Much. Yeah, are you? Yeah.
No, it's close, isn't it? It's pretty close.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I don't know. I can kind of see Charrant getting this on the floor and subbing him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go the opposite way. I'll take Charrant by sub. Why not? Extra work for the Raptors.
Double stamp.
Double stamp. Okay. Should be up for a free coffee soon with all these stamps, eh?
Yeah. Should be.
This tea's gone cold already. Okay.
Who needs coffee when you have C4?
Well, that's true.
You know?
That's very true.
Give my Bimilecki.
Mate, I have to manage. I have to manage when I drink it because yeah. I get.
Well,
I get
hold
this,
on a minute. You weren't. I don't. You drink, weren't a caffeine no, guy for ages, were
well,
you?
I didn't drink coffee up until a couple of years ago.
Right.
Just because I well, because I used to drink it before Saturday morning.
But you did drink. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never really, but energy drinks weren't really a thing when we were young. It was like Lucozade or fucking Lilt.
Well, when we were young. By the time we were training, there was
Red Bull, which Red Bull
just
and Monster.
Rinse the inside of your stomach out, which is nice.
Like NOS or something.
Yeah.
And, orange and blue can.
Jimmy's always on a Monster.
Yeah. Zions in the US. There's Zions everywhere. Yeah. But yeah, I never got into energy drinks, mainly because they always tasted like artificial.
Very.
You know what I mean?
Very, yeah. But not these ones.
No. And then I got really drunk once on vodka and Red Bull.
No good.
And I can't
tough
even
to go
smell
back,
Red Bull now without...
Tough to go back.
No.
Do you know, the funny thing about branding, I think we've had this conversation before, but I don't like Red Bull.
Mm.
But I really like Red Bull. The way they brand it, the stuff they do, the extreme sports, everything about
their
brand and how they've done
they?
It.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'd never drink it.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
Yeah. I can't stand the no. taste or
horrible,
smell of
it.
No.
Reminds me of like...
Their branding's very. There used to be a car that used to drive around in Nottingham. Yeah,
yeah,
the Red
yeah.
Bull
with
car.
The with
yeah.
the can out the back. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, they did a really good job marketing. I mean, they were like well into Thai boxing at one point as well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like they were on all the shorts and stuff. Well, and
he's
motorbike jackets.
No, I think one of the owners is Thai.
Oh, is that right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember? You ever remember seeing the Thai version? That obviously didn't have the same amount of legislation about what you could put in it. There was the little bottles of Thai Red Bull. Right? Well, it might have been a knockoff and people would drink it. They'd just be like, this is amphetamines.
I don't remember.
What's going on?
No.
Yeah, awesome. Hate.
I can't go anywhere near it. But then I'm the same with like every energy drink. When I was commentating, there were guys like, they'd have, like, they wouldn't, like, John wouldn't drink energy drink any other time of the year. Aside from when he was commentating, and then he'd have like
ass.
One or two, and then he'd be running back and forward to the toilet. You got that video of him sprinting to the fucking toilet.
Like I said last week, to see you drinking a Naturals range is like, that's a hell of an endorsement. Hell of an endorsement.
Well, I do like this, and sometimes I'll just have half a can,
yeah,
sit on it for 30 minutes, and then I'm ready to train. Because like I say, I'm like real sensitive
caffeine.
Caffeine
sensitive, yeah. I'm caffeine dull.
You are.
I could probably neck all of those and still have a sleep.
Yeah. Pour them into your eyeballs and you won't even feel it.
Good idea. Bimilecki, is that next?
That
I'm
is
a bit
next.
Out of sync. Yeah.
That is next.
And Josiane Nunes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what was funny watching, having a look at Bimilecki, is watching a fight V.
Yeah.
And like now knowing V,
yeah,
I can almost see like what she's saying in her head as she's doing. She's like, oh, fuck you, bitch. All right, let's have some of that.
Yeah.
And what I also noticed, V was pulling and delivering right hands before I even knew what pulling was.
Yeah.
So a couple of times in that fight where she comes in, lets a couple go, pulls her in, and then snaps back with a right hand.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
Yeah. That was just no preparation for that fight.
Yeah, looked tired pretty quick.
You know,
yeah.
Just no preparation. She's like, I mean, we laugh about it now, but obviously it was frustrating at the time. But she just couldn't train.
Mm.
She just couldn't train. Like, suffering too bad with migraines.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Every day. Tried to hit pads, tried to grapple, couldn't do anything.
You can see how plyometric she is in that fight.
The way she
bounces off her back foot. It's like...
She's better. She's better now than she was when she stepped into the Oxygen for that fight.
Nice.
Like she's been training recent, you know, the last few
weeks,
and she's starting to look really good. And like she's definitely on the mend now.
Mm.
But to compare that to this last
different
fight,
people.
It was difficult to watch. That was frustrating as well as difficult to watch. Mm. You know,
Melika just hasn't done much. She's 2-0.
Yeah.
This is her first fight in 18 months. So you know, I don't know whether it's been a funny time in it, but.
Yeah.
I sort of expect her at that stage to be a bit more active, wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean? You need a couple of years, really, don't you?
Yeah.
I think
it's more the lifestyle than anything else. Like, you know, I don't think she's driven to, I need the belt. Like, it's not that kind of career for her, I don't think. I mean, she's two fights in, you know?
Yeah.
I just never got the impression that she was particularly interested, to be honest.
Okay.
I remember interviewing her for her debut. And like normally when a fighter's making their debut, they're excited because they're meeting people that they've seen fighting and, you know, that kind of... She didn't know anybody.
No?
She was just kind of...
All right.
Yeah. like a herd animal.
Oh, we're doing this today.
You know what I mean?
Like a herd animal. Just waiting for someone to move so you can follow them.
And, elevators. Yeah, I wasn't impressed with her enthusiasm.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and that's, I mean, maybe I'm being a bit bitter because, you know, but anyway, still. genuinely, it stood out to me when she made her debut. She just, she wasn't really interested. So I don't know whether it's more of not knowing what to do and this is kind of what she does. I mean, you know, she's got a kickboxing background. She's, you know, she's tall, she's rangy.
I mean, she's got a massive height and reach advantage over Nunes, 5'9 and 5'2. I mean, it's not too dissimilar to when she fought V, but Nunes has not got the pop or the athleticism of V.
No, like, not at all. But she's got some.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, like I mean,
not
she's making
same.
It. No, not the same.
Definitely not the same.
She's not technically. I mean, her only losses to Talita Santos. It's a,
I mean, she's banged some people out.
This is what
six
I'm saying.
Or seven are KOs or TKOs.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Like, I think she's going to know she's going to have to move into range quickly because she's going to give up height and reach. I mean, she's 5'2". Let me pull up the
5'9".
Let me pull up the stats. She's going to know she's going to need to get into range quick, and I think that kind of Jessica Andrade sprinting in, throwing bombs is what I'm expecting from her. If she closes distance and she gets her hands on Malecki, I think she's going to feel confident that if she grounds her, she's going to be able to kind of do what she wants. 5'9", 74-inch reach compared to 5'2", and 67-inch reach.
I mean, her game plan's written in those stats, in it, for Malecki. Yeah. Like, if she can just keep distance, prod her and keep her on the end of a jab and just batter her from the outside, it's not inconceivable that that's what she could do. But like you say, Nunes is coming, isn't she? She's coming and she's going to throw some fire. And even if those punches lead to her being able to get in on her legs and put her on her back, then, that'll be it.
I think Nunes takes it.
Yeah.
I think she crowds her. Generally.
Yeah,
I think she crowds her. I think she hits her with good shots. I think she forces her to shell up. And I think she either takes her down or knocks her down and then chokes her.
Yeah.
I can imagine that being the play out. But then, you know, I say chokes her. I think at the same time, if she finds top position, she might just be
hammering away.
Yeah, yeah. I'm taking Nunes. Plus experience as well. You know, 7-1, only lost to a good fighter.
2-0.
Compared to 2-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go with you.
Okay.
I'll go with you.
Okay.
Good, I like those matchups, though. You know, when someone's clearly physically a different type, you're like, okay, well, we know what she's going to have to do. If she does anything other than that, she's going to be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's whether she can execute in it.
Yeah. It's almost like matchmaking two different species. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's such variance in humans, in height and weight and strength and speed. And you know what I mean? Mm. It's like going, oh, I wonder how
a chipmunk and a giraffe. Let's see how they go.
Money on the chipmunk every day.
Yeah.
There's the little fucking nibbling teeth. What do giraffes do? They just swing their neck, don't they?
Yeah, I bet they got a kick, though. They're like horsey type animals, isn't there? But they got a rear kick.
Got to be on target to catch a chipmunk.
Yeah, very, right? Very precise.
Exactly. Never heard of a precise giraffe?
No.
No, exactly. Money's on the chipmunk.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's not on the card. There's not giraffes and chipmunks on this. The next one is Brian Kelleher against Domingo Pallotta.
He's been around the block, Brian Kelleher, hasn't he?
He has. Yeah. He's a good fighter that's ran into fighters that are of equal level or just a tiny bit better.
Yeah. He lost to Ricky Simon last time out, who is, like we always say whenever we mention his name, he is super tough, isn't he? I think the last guy to stop Ricky was Uriah. So that's the level it sort of takes to be able to stop him. So, you know, that was a tough loss. He's got a great rounded, so he's got 22 victories, but he's got a great split of how he's got to those victories. 10 subs, 8 TKO KOs, and 4 decisions. Like, he's seen, you know, we always say about pitchers, like, he's seen that many different pitchers, and he's, you know, he's painting his own picture in so many different ways. He's just a good, solid, he's not going to be champ.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the champ, but he's one of those great, solid roster fighters, isn't he?
Exactly.
That, you know, as he gets older, he must be relatively old now.
He is... No, 31.
Well, he's that he's that mid-tier gatekeeper, yeah. isn't he?
He's got that kind of older than he actually is look. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's part of your tribe, isn't he? You know what I mean?
Well, I think I look younger. I don't know what everyone's going on about.
Younger than Kelleher?
No, about the same. About the same.
So he looks old then.
Definitely not sub 30.
He looks like he's 40.
Yeah, he looks like he's 40 odd. No, when he loses to good people. Yeah. You know what I mean? Marlon Vera, Jimmy Rivera. Back in the Bellator days, fought Jimmy Rivera, didn't he? Mm-hmm. John Lineker knocked him out. It was quite nasty, weren't it? But
the question is Domingo Pallotti?
Where's the other end
of the level? We don't really know, do we? I mean, he's just coming up. He looked good against Vince Morales.
Yeah.
But
we talked about Vince last week, didn't we? Being a good solid fighter.
But then that was back in 2018. He's not had a great deal of activity. This fight was actually matched for 2018.
Right.
This fight was actually matched for November, 3rd of November 2018.
It's a good fight, that Domingo and Vince Morales. I watched that last night.
It was a good fight.
Fun fight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Corrales peppered him with body kicks. And every time he landed that body kick, it sent him back into the fence. He bounced straight back up, straight on the legs.
Yeah. And I mean, even though he lost a split decision to Collaris, it was competitive. Like, he was on Collaris' back. He was causing him some issues.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. I enjoyed watching that. It was a good fight. He's got a few sneaky bits. He's got his standing Kimura as his go-to, innit?
Mm-hmm.
One of his sneaky special moves.
Yeah. I think it'll be a tussle, but I think Kelleher is going to be able to kind of swarm him and be just generally more relaxed in there.
Lean on his experience a little bit.
Yeah.
I had Brian for the win. But it's tough. I don't know too much about Pallotti.
No. Even I'd say his name.
Yeah, even I'd say his name. Why? How are you saying it?
Pallotti.
It's not Joseph Pallotti.
Domingo
Pallotti. He's not having a stretch.
Is that how I said it?
He's not gone for a stretch. Isn't it RE at the end, or was that another autocorrect?
RTE. Pallotti.
I've had an R. Like an accent. Pallotti. Where's he from?
Making the rules up.
Yeah.
I'm going with Kelleher.
Yeah, I'll go with him. I'm going with him, yeah. This is
a banger. Fun. Austin Lingo. Did I commentate his debut? Like, he's... not his debut, I didn't. Did I? Maybe his debut. When he fought Kilburn, that was on the very first ABC card when Holloway and Cater fought. Yeah. And like that was the first time we'd had a crowd back in at Fight Island. You could hear his punches cracking.
Yeah.
And they threw down, but he caught Kilburn early in that fight and hurt him. And he's got decent grappling as well. He just kind of winds up and lunges. And Saldana on the other side reminds me a little bit of like Sean O'Malley, the way he moves. Kind of hands low, hangs on his lead leg, you know, switches his stance, prods and pokes. And I can see...
I like him, man.
Yeah, and I like them both. Him. I can see Austin Lingo reaching for him and missing and getting frustrated.
Yeah.
And getting picked off and
that Vince Murdoch fight. Is that finish? That double kick to the face? Double front kick to the face. I watched that last night. I enjoyed. I think he's good, man. He reminded me of something you'd said up at training about having a conversation with your strikes. Like you're pitching a conversation here, and he was fighting Murdoch, who was way smaller than him. Yeah. It was a bit like B. Malecki. The only way he was going to win that fight is to get in and get on his legs, or get in and get in the pocket and stay in there. And like. Every time he sort of came forward, Saldana, first of all, he popped him with a jab, hit him clean on the jab. I was like, oh, fuck, okay, right. Next time he came, he teeped him in the midsection and he went back out. Next time he came in again, he like whacked a calf kick and took his legs from under him. I was thinking, Murdoch must be going back thinking, how am I going to get in here? He's hit me with three different things, one after another. And the only way I'm going to get anywhere is by going forward.
Yeah, going through it.
And just getting peppered and peppered and peppered.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good in that fight.
It was a really... He had Murdoch up against the fence, didn't he? He was backed up and he hit him with a front kick, a couple of punches, and then another front kick.
And then
he went down and finished him on. Yeah.
He was very good in that.
Yeah, it was. It was third round. That was a good performance.
He came out in the third round and pretty much doubled his output. Mm. Like, he was cruising first and second. He wasn't really getting hit that much, and he was completely controlling the fight. And then he was like, right, third round. It was contender, wasn't it? So he was trying to make an impression, weren't he?
Yeah. Do you reckon Lingo can get to him though with his punching power? I mean, he's a first round knockout guy.
Well, I know it's not quite the same, but Lingo did struggle with Zalal's movement. Now he does move a lot, doesn't he? He moves more than most. Yeah. And I don't feel like he moves in the same way as Saldana. Like he massively skirts, doesn't
yeah.
he?
He's far more counter striking than Saldana. Yeah. Saldana can kind of play both games. You know, he can move and he can skirt the edge of the octagon, yeah. but he's not doing it as fast or as erratically as Zalal. Like Zalal's almost he's running at times.
Yeah. Saldana reminds me of how comfortable he is with his striking. Reminds me of someone at the gym.
Yeah.
And I think it's maybe because of similar backgrounds. He's just been competitive martial arts from seven, I think. Like striking martial arts. And he just looks like he just knows where the end of every punch, he knows where it is. He knows the zones. He he's very, very comfortable in there. And yeah, he reminds me of someone we won't mention, but yeah.
Knows his range well.
Yeah.
So
he just looks confident. He's got a bit of swagger. Like if you're going to stand with him and there's some swagger about him and he's like, all right, sweet. I know where all this is going. Well. Yeah.
That's why I can see him either being out of the way when Lingo's running forward trying to throw bombs or he's going to prod him and like interrupt his attack.
Yeah.
You know, and not overextend, not over invest in anything, but just bang, bang, bang.
Pepper him a bit.
Yeah, move a little bit.
You see, in that Vince Murdoch fight, he seemed to be able to connect and do damage without like over committing to anything. He was never like lunged in to try and get his power off. He was just the end of the range, and he was just, you know, it was pretty fucking cool actually watching it.
Yeah,
it's good to watch.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're going.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah, for me.
Yeah.
Saldana, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree generally. I think Saldana should win, but then it's just after hearing the sound of Lingo's shots
power.
Land. I think to myself,
they got to land though.
Yeah,
they got to land.
No, yeah, for sure they've got to land. But sometimes if you get someone who's got a clear game plan and they're not bothered about where the fight goes and they're most focused on doing one thing as hard as they can.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, less distractions.
Yeah, yeah. These guys are small and fast. You know, it's like a featherweight version of Cyril Gane against Derek Lewis in some ways. But the difference is in this version, Derek Lewis has got good conditioning and moves much faster.
Yeah,
might not land quite as hard, but he lands hard enough to knock out half of his opponents so far.
And like, so you know that the flip side of that confidence in the pocket and the confidence in range is he leaves it
risk taking.
He's so confident he's going to take that risk because he feels like he knows where everything's at, and it only takes a minor miscalculation he's going to get caught with some serious heat. And
if he can avoid getting clipped by Lingo in the first round, I think Saldana runs away with a decision.
Yeah,
8 out of 10 times.
Right, there you go.
A couple of times Austin Lingo is going to clean his clock though.
I got Saldana in this case.
Okay.
It's one of the eight.
We'll just do one stamp for this one, Jamie.
Well, there you go.
Ollie can take the blame if you were wrong. I'm not confident enough to back Lingo. It's only 20% chance, but I still like that chance for a punch.
They're your kind of stars.
Yeah. 20% chance of winning?
Yeah, do it.
Let me show you how this happens. Okay. This is.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God, this
Wicked.
Is a fucking fight.
In it.
Yeah, this should be higher up on the card. I don't know why this is so low down on the card.
I can't help saying Brandon's second name not in deep Irish accent. Like Brandon Royval. It's fucking Brandon Royval.
That is odd.
Yeah,
he's not Irish.
No, he's not. No, there's no link at all. I saw that word. I was like, Royval. Royval.
That sounds like you're saying rival in the.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Like a. Anyway.
Okay, big fan of Pantoja.
Yeah, it's killer.
Big fan of Brandon Royval.
We've talked a couple of times about Pantoja around Manel Kapp, haven't we? Because it was such a tough call for him to come in and fight someone like Pantoja.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's in a funny spot, isn't he? Because he's beat the champ twice.
Yeah.
But he's what?
He just needs
fourth,
to get within striking distance to get a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, I just like the way that Pantoja fights because it's reckless even though you know he's skilled in every range. You know, he still takes a lot of risks and that's sometimes what he pays for because, you know, I mean, he'll come up against guys that will force him to grapple, will force him to wrestle, and then there's an element of frustration when they start slowing the fight down. And you can see that, you know, like the times he's lost, I think he's only lost by decision. Yeah. I mean, he lost to Formiga really early in his career. Yeah, I mean, you know, Dustin Ortiz, unanimous decision in 2018. Figueiredo in 2019, unanimous decision. And then Askarov in 2020. But then everybody else he's beaten have been good
that
as well.
That was a mental fight with Askarov.
Oh, mate, it was ridiculous.
Mental.
But then, for me, the difference in that fight was Askarov's decision making. Mm. Because he was more directed towards winning the fight than finishing the fight.
Yeah.
And Pantoja is much more about finishing the fight than winning it. Or in his mind, the only way you can win a fight is by finishing it.
Right.
Like the judge's decision is like a secondary result to finishing the fight.
If I couldn't do my job.
Exactly.
Then we'll go to the judges.
Exactly. Yeah. I think he does pay for that sometimes, but not against Brandon Royval.
Mm.
Like you think about the Kaikara France fight was madness. But there were gaps in there for him to be, you know, pay for it basically. Mm. Kaikara France is not the same fighter as Pantoja. Pantoja is more dangerous in every range. So he can't be as reckless in this fight.
It's a big experience gap as well. Like yeah. Pantoja's 23-5. Royval's only 12-5. That's a decent deficit.
Yeah. But then, Royval
dislocate your shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible, wasn't it? Yeah, and then put it back in the same.
Yeah. That was the end of last year, November of last year. I mean, at least he's had a few months. Hopefully he's done his S&C and rehab and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the end of the world now that he's, do you know what I mean, a dislocated, overstretched shoulder or ligaments and stuff. He can strengthen that up relatively easily.
Yeah.
He should come back.
He's only young.
He hasn't fought since, right?
Yeah, no,
that was
not
the last,
since.
That was that the was last, last thing one. That happened, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what's gone then? What do you think?
I've just got to go with Pantoja.
Yeah.
I've got to go with Pantoja. I like Brandon Royval, but I feel like he's maybe ready for Pantoja in 12, 18, 24 months' time. I think Pantoja's just ahead of him right now. And I might be surprised. You know, there's going to come a point where Pantoja's going to start to you know, pull back a little bit, as always seems to happen with guys that have been sitting at the top for a while. But I don't feel like that time's right now.
No.
I feel
he's got to be thinking, I'm on air. I get to Brandon again, sure. I've got him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Marino, not Royval.
Yeah. And then there's that surge of confidence thinking that he's, you know, within striking distance of a title shot.
Yeah.
It makes all your work seem worthwhile.
So whenever you get these, like, top five, six guys fighting each other, you just know, you know, you're pretty much, especially at these kind of weights, you know you're in for a good fight.
Where are they in the rankings? Let me have a quick look here.
I think
Pantoja's at number three.
And
the two people above him he's lost to.
Yeah.
Apart from the champion who he's beaten.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Royval's at number six. Like, if Royval wins this one, it opens up a lot of really interesting fights for him. I mean, Royval v. Figueiredo would be electric. I think Royval gets drowned by Askarov right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Benavidez would be a good fight for him.
I love that division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are you going with?
I got Pantoja. I'm a bit of a Pantoja fanboy. We always say the same.
Yeah. He is very, very good.
Yeah.
I've got a good photo, actually, of him that I took on my film camera when we were at ATT.
Yeah.
I'll have to go through those and dig them out, post a couple. So we're going Pantoja, are we?
I think so.
Okay. Vince From Hell Pichel.
Yeah.
Against Austin Hubbard.
Where's he been? What's he had a 2-year break, then he had a 3-year break. Do you know what? He came through like his Ally Quinter tough series. That's how long he's been around, but he's done particularly much in that time, has he? You don't know what those breaks were for.
I don't. I'm not sure.
Like a 3-year break's not an injury. It's 38 something else.
Now. Yeah. No, I don't know. Let me see here. So he had a fight lined up against Alexander Yakovlev at the end of 2019, and that bout was cancelled. Let me see if I can find out why it was cancelled. I don't know, but I mean, he's 38, so...
Mm. What are you doing, mate?
Yeah, you know, it's not going to be by choice, is it? It's either going to be by... I wouldn't even say by being, you know, by not having a decent career, because he's had good wins, he's had good fights.
Yeah, he's strung a couple together. Yeah. He ran into Gregor Gillespie, didn't he, and got, like... Gregor Gillespie, pretty much, didn't he? It was a good fight to watch. if you like wrestling,
because
he drowned him, and it was like there's loads of good scrambles, and Gregor's, he's a bit of a machine.
He is. But then in his last fight against Jim Miller, who obviously is another strong wrestler, you know, he showed his capability. You
and
know,
he beat Roosevelt Roberts.
I think he's a very capable fighter. You just kind of wonder, you know, what's been going on, what's been plaguing him, what's his injuries, what's slowing him down. Like Austin Hubbard's he's a problem for everybody, isn't he? Really,
we've got some good we've got some good footage of Austin from the elevation piece on the channel. Check it out. The Raptors went out to elevation. And he features a couple of times, doesn't he? Yeah. Seems a good dude.
Yeah. I just wonder whether... I mean, I look at the people that have beaten him. I mean, Mark Madsen, we'll talk about him in a moment, is a scary individual. Davy Hamosh as well is a very good fighter, a good grappler. I wonder whether even though there's not an experience advantage necessarily for Pichel, I mean, what, 13-5 to 13-2, I don't know whether the maturity difference will show. I mean, you know, he's not, 9 years older than Austin Hubbard.
I don't know, man. Even when Austin was losing, like that Mark Madsen fight, if Mark Madsen wasn't quite the level of wrestler that he was, like Hubbard was doing all the right things. He was just Madsen's like an unbelievable wrestler. He's just slightly.
Same for
slightly
Vince Pichel against Gillespie.
Yeah, yeah.
Same situation.
Yeah.
But then, like, you look like okay, if I make it really simple for myself, if I look at Austin Hubbard's record, what's his best win? And then if I look at Vince Pichel's record, I'm like, well, what's his best win? It's Jim Miller. Roosevelt Roberts is a good win. Jim Miller's a really good win. I don't see any of those wins on.
No.
On Austin Hubbard's record, so maybe this is where we find out what
he's
made
of. Man, there's not.
He's not, you know, he's not fighting people of the level that Vince Pichel's been fighting at.
No.
You know. Plus, you know, sometimes sitting on the outside and watching is not as bad as people think. You know, like if he's been out with injuries, he's been frustrated. He's been watching the division passing by.
Potentially, he's not been getting punched in the head.
Exactly. He might be a lot smarter and more calculated. And that might be the difference in this fight.
Yeah. I was edging towards Austin with his... He just seemed like a great athlete. He's got a good, solid skill set everywhere. Mm-hmm. He's not... Yeah, you, I hadn't picked up on...
It's like just, one of the newer
generation.
Level.
Yeah, he's coming in.
Yeah.
It just depends whether this is too soon or the right time for him, really.
I think it might be just a little step too far now. I think Vince Pichel might be able to cause him issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going with Hubbard anyway, despite what you just said.
Of course you are.
We'll see what happens.
Vince, from double, hell,
double
Pichel
stamp
for
it.
Me.
It's a double stamper.
Vince Pichel gets a stamp from me just for having a cool nickname.
From hell, Pichel.
It's good.
Like it.
Okay, Chase Sherman against Parker Porter.
I'm just not mad buzzing about this one.
Toss a coin then. Which way are you going?
Pretty much. They're either going to KO, someone's going to KO someone, or they're both going to get KO'd by exhaustion.
Yeah.
I think the two big dudes, isn't they? I actually thought Chase looked much improved against Villanova.
I think he's a good kickboxer. He just leaves himself far too vulnerable for a heavyweight division. He's just too hittable.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's not that he's not got a good chin, because he takes some shots.
Yeah, he's done a bit of bare knuckle as well, hasn't he? In that space. He just got out. He got picked apart by Alosky a little bit because that was the way he was going to beat him, wasn't he? He's sharp and skilled. I don't know. Like, he's going to have to take a shot because Parker Porter's going to throw some heavy shots and he's a big, big dude. I think Chase might come through, though.
Yeah, I agree. I think Parker might land with a bit more power. But Chase, I mean, you know, he's got a 4-inch height advantage, 3-inch reach advantage. You know, he's been in the UFC longer. I think he might not be a lot more measured, but he's a little bit more measured. And I think he might just be able to outpoint him for a decision. I think they'll be able to take each other's shots. And I think we might just have a rock 'em sock 'em 15 minutes.
All right, we'll go with Chase.
Happy days.
It's kind of cool name, Chase Sherman. He looks like Chase Sherman, doesn't he?
He does look like a Chase Sherman, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I can't believe I saw this name. I was like, what? He's still going.
Mate, 36-20 is his record.
He's 39, isn't he?
Crazy. Timeless. Ageless. Timeless. Clay Guida against Mark O'Madsen. Although the UFC have dropped the O.
Yeah, why? What's going on?
You can't drop the O. You can't drop the O. Mark O'Madsen. His nickname's the Olympian, but his middle name is Overgaard.
Overgaard.
That's fucking shit. Game of Thrones shit, go that on. Is, isn't it?
So, like, Greco,
he's
right?
A commandant. He's a commander at the wall.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah, with a big like.
With a massive fucking bear skin on or something like that.
Definitely.
Mark Overgaard Madsen. Yeah. No doubt. He's a fucking terrifying individual. He's
Greco Olympian.
Did we go to
right?
Cage Warriors when he fought? Where's it?
Ah, did you?
Where's it? Copenhagen? Yeah. Yeah. Mate. It was horrible to watch. Like, and this was before he signed his UFC contract. It was against Tibau Larshet. He just
ragged him.
Yeah. Fought Matt Bonner, who's the current middleweight
beat
champion
him.
As well. Beat him by decision. Yeah.
I mean, he has.
He's a monster.
Yeah, he's got some back on him, hasn't he? He's got a Greco back on him. Yeah, so he's.
They've got his Olympic record on here.
Yeah,
his
I saw that.
Record. That's weird, isn't it?
But there's other people, but like DC's Olympic record's not on there, right?
I don't know. I don't think it's on his MMA record. No. Maybe not.
Pad it out a little bit.
Yeah, weird.
No, he's good, isn't he? He's he got, you know, he out-competes everybody. Out-competed Austin Hubbard, we sort of touched on before. He's had 3,000 bouts, apparently,
mate,
as a wrestler.
I love Clay Guida. I think Clay Guida accepted this fight without looking into who he was facing. Honestly, I do.
Denmark,
I love Clay Guida.
Do you watch Denmark, right? Do they?
Yeah, I love Clay Guida.
Oh, shit.
This is a fucking horrible fight.
Awful.
Mark Madsen won't give him any space. He won't give him room to breathe. Like Clay Guida's going to be bouncing around. Mark Madsen's just going to be standing, just walking him down, waiting. Like, come near me and wait till I get my hands on you.
Yeah. Clay Guida's got a good work rate.
Yeah.
But he ain't got a Clay Guida at 26 work rate anymore. He's
for
40.
Sure.
You know, he's almost 40. Mark Madsen's 36, not too much difference, but he's in a different space, isn't he?
He's got a different mindset. I remember who was it he made his debut against? Danilo Balwardo. So I called that, I think it was in Singapore. And he was weight cutting at the time. It was the first time he'd cut to 155 in about, I don't know, 8 years.
Yeah.
I think we said it on commentary. It was a good chunk of time was the last time he made lightweight. Because all the way through his career previously, Cage Warriors and everything, he was fighting at welterweight. So he wasn't having to cut weight. I mean, that's his confidence. I'm not bothering cutting for these guys. I'll cut when it gets to the level where I think I need that advantage. So, like, he's literally going into his third fight as a lightweight. And he showed up, weight cutting, in a suit and tie, properly fully dressed, and sat there like it was an interview with the BBC. Like one of the leading news outlets.
Yeah.
And he was like exactly what you would want from an athlete to represent the sport. I was just like, fucking hell, you can tell this guy's been to the Olympics, you know? He was one of those well-versed Premier football players that like captains the team and does the press conference afterwards.
You're the respectable one in the team. You go do it.
Yeah. And then on the other side, you've got the fucking Big Lebowski, Clay Guida.
His hair.
He was just mad.
Everywhere.
He's just mad.
He's mad. Just got out of his Winnebago.
Yeah.
He's parked his Winnebago in the parking lot of the event centre. I'm ready. Who is it? Denmark? Ah, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Easy. Yeah, it's not great, is it?
I can't
see how this is not going to go the way we're insinuating it's going to go. But Clay is mad as fuck, so you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Mad
he's
people
mad as
do
fuck.
Mad things.
He's gonna have to do something special to beat Mark Madsen.
Yeah,
he's gonna have to do something really special.
It'll have to be his hands right. Have to catch him exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
at the right time in exactly the right place.
Well, what's Clay got as far as subs on his record?
He's not subbing
it. He's not. I don't think he is. But like, if it hits the ground, what are his options?
Yeah.
I mean, we know he's got wrestling. The last time he subbed someone was Takanori Gomi back in 2011. So 10 years.
Ten years.
So the last time, Guida subbed someone was the last time Mark Madsen cut to lightweight before this previous return. Yeah. arm triangle. I just.
I don't think I've watched. Maybe that we're underestimating.
Maybe not. Maybe we're underestimating Clay, but I don't feel like I'm overestimating Marco Madsen. I think he's a monster.
Yeah. No,
the,
I agree.
The O stands for oh shit.
Oh Clay.
Oh
Clay. Bad decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Mark Madsen for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Unanimous same. Decision.
Oh Madsen. Yeah. For Denmark. The Viking.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Go on then.
My old favourite. I love watching him.
Gastelum.
One of my favourite. His fight with Izzy is one of my favourite fights ever.
Yeah.
It was just so good.
Mate, the conversation that Goddard and I had about that. Yeah. Have you watched that? The podcast,
episode? Maybe, yeah.
We go through the fight and we talk about, you know, because obviously Mark was reffing.
Hearing
and,
everything.
And he said, like, he gets asked the question a lot, what's his favourite MMA fight he's ever refereed? And he never had an answer up until that fight.
Then.
And then he was like,
just mad, weren't it? Like,
it was crazy.
Like, how is he still going? And then he starts to turn it a little bit. And then Izzy comes through and he's just, couldn't script it. He's not like poetic to watch, is he, Kelvin? Like, he's not a beautiful technician, but he's brutal in his application of what he does. And he's tough as hell.
Yeah. He's not poetic to watch unless he's doing what he does best, which is slipping and countering.
Yeah.
Like, his finish of Bisping, the way he set him up, and, One easy way of telling whether someone's a calculated striker is whether they put all their power into their shots or not. And if you watch that fight, he touches Bisping, leans away and lets Bisping counter, and then he touches him with the lead hand before he smacks him with the left. And the reality is if he'd have hit him with any more power with the lead hand, he wouldn't have been able to reach him with the rear hand. So it was like he teed it up.
Yeah.
You know,
just like range, making sure he's in range.
Yeah. And you know, and he is a good wrestler as well. And I do think, I mean, I'm going to do a war room on this and I'll go into a bit more detail. But I think the point of difference for Kelvin in this fight is to wrestle. I don't think it's a good idea to strike with Cannoneer for him. I think he's got the boxing to technically beat Cannoneer, but I don't know as over 25 minutes he's going to be able to...
Not going to get caught.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of power coming from Jared, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, Gastelum doesn't throw kicks, and kicks were the undoing of Cannoneer against Whittaker. You know, I think Gastelum can get Cannoneer to the floor, but I think he'll struggle to hold him down. But I think he has to be persistent with that game plan. And I don't know if he's got confidence in his conditioning to do it. You know,
yes, I mean, like Cannoneer, when he loses, look, if you look who he's lost to: Rob Glover, Dom Reyes, Jan Blachowicz.
But then you literally just named like top five light heavyweights, though.
Yeah.
Like he was passing through that weight division. Like, if you focus just on his middleweight career,
yeah.
I mean, he's a scary dude, and he's able to really fucking hurt people when he hits them. And another thing I liked as well, which we didn't see him use it as much in the Whittaker fight, but he's very confident switching stances for kicks. Like he wrecked Anderson Silva's leg with a low kick.
Oh, you're talking me out of KG here.
I'm giving you a reality check because I think KG's hit his best.
Yeah.
I think Adesanya was the
that was it. That was the pinnacle.
Peak. Yeah. Because even if you look at the Ian Heinisch fight, it wasn't a great performance.
No.
And he had to wrestle in that one. And I think that was a
must
good
be
warm-up.
Hard, you know, when you've been right up there to that level, and like that fight will be one of, you know, it goes into the top fights type bracket, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? People will talk about it forever. Like, to get yourself up there again and again when it's not that level, it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's tough. I always think when, you know, like World Cup winners come back from winning the World Cup and then they have to play like Newcastle away on a Friday night. It's just like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Just won the World Cup, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's not quite the same. It's not like KG won the World Cup, but it was still that epic, you know, he's created a bit of history, hasn't he? And to then have to like, fighting Heinisch, a bit like
it is the way it goes in combat sports, and you know, you work up through the filtration process and get as far as you can, and then you hit your ceiling, and then you start working back down that filtration process. And like, we look at Kelvin Gastelum right now, he's ranked number 9, and above him is Sean Strickland. Like, you wouldn't have put Sean Strickland against Kelvin Gastelum in the rankings, not even in your head right now if you were putting them together. But the reality is Gastelum's sliding. And another and the reality of Kelvin Gastelum is that he's a fat welterweight.
I
like Gastelum. I like his style. I think he's a very well-versed striker. I think he's got great wrestling. Mm. I think he's a good fighter generally.
I think
he's bit off a bit more than he can chew at middleweight, and the division's growing around him.
Yeah.
Like everyone's getting bigger and taller and leaner. Like Jared Cannonier has got his shit together and came down from middleweight, and Kelvin Gastelum kept eating shit and went up to middleweight.
Well, there's no one else that looks like Kelvin in that division, is there?
No, because really? because his legs are like a lightweight's and his upper body's like a light heavyweight.
It's like a block.
Yeah. It's like when you've got one of those books where you pair bodies together and you're like, it's like, why is he built like Johnny Bravo? Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's a shame that Cannonier Costa fight was cancelled, wasn't it?
Mate,
that would have been fun to watch.
Yeah, I like Cannonier, and the timing on that uppercut against Hermanson as well is problems for, because it was literally at really short range when he hit him with that.
He's a powerful man.
He is. I think Gastelum's going to have to work really fucking hard for the win in this fight.
You taught me out of it.
Have I really?
Yeah, I think you have, yeah.
I've been watching Killer Gorilla.
Have you? Oh, no.
That's his thing, isn't it?
It's a Jedi.
Got all his crystals and shit. I can't go. I'm sitting here with an amethyst crystal skull here. The crystal skull tells me that Jared Cannonier is going to win. I think he's going to stop Gastelum.
Yeah. Mm. Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, be a good way to fit. Good way to top that card out, won't it?
But it's if you're going to pick, card. But if you were going to pick Gastelum,
man, I've written it down and stuff. I've got my boy KG.
Of course you.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll see.
How are you seeing who is going to win? Because you might change my mind.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the persuasive.
Go on, do it.
Level. Do you know what I mean? Well, it's the same thing. Like he's, you know. Jared's going to throw at him, and KG's head movement and ability to counter is right up there with the best in that division. Mm. I agree. He's only really in that weight class because he enjoys his life. He enjoys pasta, but I think outside of training. But yeah, I can just see him, you know, catching him, countering him and beating him up. And every time Jared comes forward and throws stuff off him, he's slipping and rolling and countering him. But that's not as convincing as what you said to me.
Well, if I'm making an argument for Kelvin Gastelum, then I agree. Mm. I think he's technically sharper than Cannonier as far as his abilities, as far as
and
his
he
boxing.
Hung with Izzy for a long time. You know
Absolutely
what I mean?
He did.
And I don't think Jared is as precise as Izzy is.
No,
I think he carries more power in terms of raw power, and you know, Izzy does his damage via precision quite a lot of the time, doesn't he? Whereas Jared could maybe not be as precise, but the power that's involved is, you know, it's deadly.
Mm-hmm. The danger range for Gastelum is getting into punching range because he's not a kicker. Mm. And even when he is throwing kicks, it's
not much on him.
You're not going to really worry about it too much. Jared Cannonier will switch his stances to kick. He uses low kicks inside and out. He uses front kicks to the body, both legs.
You start disabling that front leg of
Gastelum. Yeah, that's his whole game gone.
He's in a bit of trouble, isn't he?
His whole game gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then on the flip side, you know, if Gastelum is able to get through the kicking range and close Cannonier down, I do think he has the better boxing, and I do think he has enough power to hurt Cannonier. And the other thing I will say as well is Gastelum's understanding of the boxing range is better than Cannonier's, and Cannonier paid for his head movement against Whittaker because Whittaker was throwing that right hand and slipping him onto the kick.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, if Cannonier's not gone back to the gym and gone, okay, how did I lose that fight? How did I get caught? Mm. How did he set me up for it? You know, if he didn't watch that fight back, or he watched it back and gone, oh, I just slipped onto a head kick, you know.
Yeah.
Like, if he wrote it off, then, you know, it needs to be. And I think he is self-reflective enough to have done that. I think he's got people around him that would, you know, is it... he's got Rob Emerson in his corner.
Right.
Elevated? No, it's not Elevated.
I can find out if you want. Hold on.
Is it Duke Rufus? Rufus Sport?
He is MMA Lab.
MMA Lad. That's what I mean. John Crouch.
Yeah, John
That's
Crouch.
It. I always get those two mixed up, Duke Rufus and John Crouch.
So for Gastelum to win, their toes have basically got to be touching.
Yeah.
For most of the fight. That's the range he's gonna have to sit in if he's gonna get it. Or put him on his back. We don't feel like he's gonna be able to keep him on his back long enough.
I think he has to get Jared Cannonier tired. I think he has to make him work. Mm. And the benefit in Gastelum, you know, not being the biggest of middleweights is that he's not carrying all that muscle mass that's gonna require, you know, oxygen to keep it working. Like he can wrestle and you know, he can outwork him like he did Heinisch.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a good test run, but he's got to be able to do that for 25 minutes instead of 15, or figure out a way of stopping him. Like Gastelum's got decent jiu-jitsu, but it's not great jiu-jitsu. I mean, you remember that heel hook he got caught with Hermansson.
Yeah, Hermansson, yeah.
So, like, I think Cannonier's going to have what he doesn't have in technical ability, he's going to have in physical horsepower to get himself out of positions. Mm. So I think Gastelum's going to have to work and work and work to keep him in bad positions. I think if he's able to force him to fight in boxing range, then Gastelum's got an advantage there, both in volume and in technical ability. But, you know, he's got to stay in striking range and not get caught by Cannonier.
Mm.
And I think Cannonier's, you know, he's got twice the options because he's got two stances.
Yeah.
Gastelum's always southpaw.
And his kicking game on top.
And his kicking game on top. Southpaw be orthodox. If Cannonier decides to go that, he can hammer that body kick. If he decides to switch southpaw, he can hammer the low kick from the outside leg, hammer the calf. It's got options.
Mm.
So you're picking Gastelum then, are you?
Well, I don't know. I don't like it when you change my mind on shit, but yeah, no, you make a good case. I might have to flip that. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, KG.
He's going to be disappointed.
Yeah. He has no idea who I am, so I doubt he's going to be that disappointed.
Oh, he will after the body shot.
Yeah,
he'll,
probably.
He'll definitely after the
probably
body shot.
Probably watched that.
He'll for sure he did.
I saw you throwing around some get yourself a grenade bar comments up at the...
it's become like an internal joke of the show.
Even you could get yourself a grenade bar. Look, he did it.
It was the inflection of the way he delivered it, like, get yourself a grenade bar. It was like
oh,
you know,
good boy.
Didn't think about that. But, you know, yeah, you could
he didn't think about it in a million years, did he? It's one of the greatest backfires of all time.
They'd be a good sponsor. There we go.
Grenade, they would.
Or we could start giving away C4s for body shots in the gym.
Yeah, there we go. There's some coming over. My man Angel says he sent some over, so we'll get some. Win yourself a C4 cotton candy.
Yeah.
For body shot drops.
We'll do a rough ass uncensored episode sponsored by C4, but we'll have it strobing constantly because that's what
imagine
Jimmy Warlord's
saying. Imagine doing a Wednesday stand up sparring with strobe lighting.
Oh mate,
I've just invented a new sport.
We should try that.
How good would that be?
Strobe spar. Strobe spar today, boys. Three rounds of strobe spar and
then
we'll go normal.
It feels like strobe. For me, it feels like strobe lighting anyway. Oh, fuck. Oh, shit.
It's because you've got to keep your eyes open more of the time.
Yeah. It really helps. It really does. All right, nice. It's a good card. It's a bit of a
sneaky one.
Yeah, a bit of a sneaky one. Some good fights on there. I hope people don't overlook it.
I did appreciate having a weekend off, though.
Well, we did the review anyway, didn't we?
As I love fights, it was nice to have a weekend where I was like, Saturday evening, I'm like,
oh, now what?
What should I do?
Star Wars, anyone?
Yeah. In my head, I'm thinking to myself, this must be what parents feel like when someone else is looking after their kids.
You just sit at home like that. So quiet.
Checking Instagram, see if one of your kids has updated their profile.
Yeah, what are they doing? Yeah. Where are they?
Oh, they're in cookies.
No, I took the kids back to lane 7.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Spot.
We went, the adults went, and then I took the kids. Mm. Yeah, it was good.
I didn't have a look around. I was sat talking to Dean the whole time.
Oh, wait. So it's table tennis and pool and bowls. And,
it's a good thing. Yeah. I slayed you at all of them.
Nah, you wouldn't. Award, you're only good at one thing. You're like a blockhead. You're only good
I'm good at,
one
at winning,
thing.
Is what I'm
really
good at.
Really good at that. And I'm averagely good at loads of shit.
Is that right?
Yeah. But I'll beat you at ping pong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ping pong.
Not pool, though. I'm shit. I don't know why. I'm not very good at pool.
I'm good at pool.
Oh, yeah.
I used to have a snooker table in my house.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It, like one of them, like fold-up ones. I got it for Christmas.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
I spent a lot of time playing pool.
Do you have a Sabutio set?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Shit game.
It was my dad's. I got my dad's.
Terrible game.
It is.
It's like a terrible game. How did that even kick off?
But then when you think there's only four channels on the TV.
Well, it's
either Sabutio or like, you know. Yeah. If it's raining outside and you want to play football and you can't.
Yeah, Sabutio will do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're not playing on a video game, are you? What was it, Tandy back in the day with fucking Pong?
Pong.
Boom.
Boom. I remember my Atari, I put the disc in and then it was like 8 minutes to load. And then consoles happen. You're like, you don't even have to wait. You just put it on. It just happens. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And now we've fucking regressed, PlayStation. Listen to me here. Every time you want to play something, it's got to download another 7 gig of data. Yeah, I'm like, I used to, like, Turbo Tortoise, I had that on a cassette tape for my Amstrad. I put it in the deck and I had to wake up 20 minutes early so I could play a game before breakfast.
Yeah.
Put it in, load it, and the screen would go all kinds of mad colours and patterns for about 15 minutes and then it would be ready to play.
Mad how much we develop in tech, innit?
So fast.
So fast.
V said that the other day. We watched Ghost Dog, which was 99.
Yeah, I've seen that. I saw you tweet. Did you tweet that out? I don't think I've seen it.
I'll lend it. It's a good one. Because it's about the Book of the Samurai, the Hagakure, which is just a great book, just generally on martial arts philosophy. And the book is, it's Forrest Whitaker, living by the code of this book in like a mafia environment.
Yeah.
It's an odd movie because it's not like action-packed and there's loads of stuff happening there's loads of really peaceful scenes where it's just like RZA does the music out of Wu-Tang.
Right.
So you'll just have this nice beat in the background. Dun, 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 and it'll be like a pigeon just flying over the city and you'll get the view of the city from the pigeons. It's just a nice movie to watch.
Cool, I'll watch that.
But then like when it first comes up, it's like fucking Activision or something. Yeah, it's all like blurred blocked around the edges and the sound's terrible and you're like, this was 99. Shit.
It's not that long ago.
It's not that long ago.
It's amazing.
Right?
It's amazing. It makes you think where we're going to end up in that time scale again, which we'll see. Do you know what I mean? We'll see that.
Yeah.
Wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bitcoin, probably.
Fucking hell. Black Mirror, mate. That's where we're going.
Not too far off, really.
We're not. Not too far at all.
Better wrap this.
Yes.
We're done. Good one, bro.
Nice one.
Nice. See you next week.
C4 Energy.
Manscaped. Full Reptile.
Rough House
Uncensored for a laugh and some upskilling. Go for it. See you next week.